Very happy to have with us right now Jim Donovan, voice of the Browns. Watching some practice today, Jim.
I like what I see, Vic.
Yeah, what do you like the most? What jumped out at you?
I'll tell you what, I just think, you know, in this kind of minicamp with no pads or anything like that, so it's hard to really see the running game, and it's certainly hard to see any line play. But I like what I see in the passing game. I really enjoy watching Brandon Weeden throw the football. It's remarkable how it jumps out at you, how quickly the ball gets there, the velocity that it gets there, and the location of where it gets there to a receiver. Out in front, on their hands, in a workable position. Nobody seems to be reaching.
Yeah, that's the thing. He seems to put, like you say, a catchable ball there, but also it seems like the receivers, the veterans that he didn't work with from the very beginning during that mini camp, the rookie mini camp, are becoming more comfortable with him. They seem to be running routes with the idea now of knowing what kind of ball is coming their way.
Yeah, absolutely, and they enjoy it. Yeah. I mean, had a chance to talk to Mohamed Massaqua and really any of the guys that have been here in the past and what they see. And naturally, they see what everyone is going to see when the practices are open up to the public in July and training camp opens up. They're going to see the power in the arm, but it's also the location of where they're getting the ball, which is so important to them. And specifically in this offense, which is a run catch and go, yards after the catch becomes very important to them. So the timing of where they're getting the ball allows them to hit it in stride and go. And I think they like what they see so far. And they love the fact that he's come into camp the right way. And they notice that he's a little bit grown up.
No, no doubt. And Jim, they all, after a certain point, kind of look the same. The workouts, they call this one a mini camp. It's mandatory. I guess that's the only thing that really separates it from the other ones. But in general, you want to see a progress line with whatever they're doing out there. And it does look organized. It does look sharper. We see mistakes and we see some drop passes and we see a few things here and there that sort of make you say, okay, that's, you don't want to see as much of that. But overall, the tempo seems to move pretty quickly and efficiently, and it looks like a football team continuing to come together.
Absolutely, and I think, on the other side of we see so much passing, and Evan Moore made a good point to me. He said, really, a lot of teams call this a passing camp because that's what you really see. You see the passing game here in this mini camp, and you see it on the other side, too. I mean, I see some interesting play over there on the defensive backfield.
Yeah.
Some guys really coming up and making plays, and Eric Haig, who I know is being mentioned as a possibility to win a starting safety job. And I can see why. I saw it at the end of last year
when
he was getting into games more and more and playing. But I definitely see it now. It's interesting to see that jump when a guy comes into his second year off his first year, physically and confidence-wise.
He looks so much
more
confident.
Yeah.
He looks like he's putting himself in the right place. I mean, certainly the coaching helps, having a good scheme by Dick Geron, having good guidance from Tim Houck in the secondary. But overall, Eric Haig seems like a guy who gets it and believes that he is the guy. When he's out there performing, he's performing like a guy who has no intention of losing that starting battle against Usama Young, who has some years on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think on that side, too, Usama Young has to recognize, and I'm sure he will, that he's going to have a battle on his hands once this thing really gets going. And for them, it's gotten going. But once they get the pads on defensively, and especially at that position, do you want to tackle? Mm-hmm. Do you want to be in that right spot, break a play up, pick a ball off over the middle? Something that was missing with that secondary last year, they weren't a high interception group.
Right.
They didn't get their hands on the ball. Now, Joe Hayden went through the season with his hands on a lot of balls, but he wasn't able to hold on to them, which I'm sure will change because he did it in his rookie year. But you want to be able to get those plays, and the guys that make the plays are going to be the guys that are going to be out on the field more. And it's good to see T.J. Ward back out on the field, because it's been a while.
That's been a difference, too. And, you mentioned T.J. because watching him not only play and perform well, but the encouragement he gives to the younger guys, talking to like Trevin Wade and other players who need to hear, even though he's not the grizzled veteran by the, going into only year three and having missed half of his second season in the league, there's a presence that he brings.
Yeah. Vic, and the other thing I noticed too is it is so interesting to watch what they're going through right now and reflect back to June of last year, and there was none of this.
Yeah,
there were no mini camps. There were no OTAs. There was nothing. And for a young team like the Browns, Imagine having to come into that season. Imagine what Pat Shurmur was faced with and his staff to come in July, late July, and get them up and running right away with none of this, you know, to build on.
No, not at all. We're visiting with Jimmy Donovan, the voice of the Browns, here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The quarterback competition is going to be something that will be talked about probably even after Pat Shurmur officially announces the starter, because that came up today with reporters talking with Pat Shurmur after the walkthrough this morning. And the topic was, you know, the timing of the announcement. He says he wants it to be sooner. He wants to remove – it's always better to have that known. And obviously on the teams that already have established starters, he says, hey, they're in better shape than those that don't. But I just wonder, from the Browns standpoint, if you're operating, how delicate a balance it might be to operate without the, quote, officially designated guy, even though all of us look at it and say it is going to be Brandon Whedon's job. It's just a matter of time before it becomes official.
Yeah, because the thing you have to start doing then is, once again, when we get into those practices in training camp, you start watching reps.
Yeah.
Who's getting the reps? Now, Brandon Whedon is going to need reps, and whoever the starter would be, but let's go along the storyline that he will be the starter. He's going to need those reps. It's crowded there right now. Right now you've got four guys back there, you know, because Thaddeus Lewis is here with McCoy and with Seneca Wallace and with Whedon. And then you get into those preseason games. And I remember a couple of times when the Browns threw some preseasons in the past, their starting quarterback never got the designation that he was the starting quarterback until week three of the preseason. And then they just didn't get enough work. I remember Jeff Garcia came here and went into the opening game and said, I'm really concerned because I didn't get a lot of work. Mm-hmm. I mean, Charlie Fry got a lot of playing time in the preseason. Brady Quinn got a lot of playing time. And Derek Anderson and all those guys were slugging it out too. So you really, if you're going to commit to a guy, and I know they want to, watch how many reps that guy gets, because if he's your starter, you want him to get as many as he can.
And then when you do it, when you do have three other quarterbacks in camp, and somewhere along the line you're going to have to define who your number two is, and maybe that number two is going to be, say, Colt McCoy, how is he responding to things? You do need him to, I guess, get a certain amount of work to determine that, really facing the adversity for the first time in his football life of having a challenger there for that starting spot.
You know, absolutely. And then, you know, you put into play Seneca Wallace and the years that he's put in, his knowledge of the offense, his comfort factor with the role of being a backup quarterback. I mean, he knows it. He knows what's expected of him. And so, yeah, it's very interesting. It will be interesting to see, is the battle really for the number one job, or is it for the number two job?
Yeah.
And who's in play there at number two?
Right.
That will be a very interesting story.
And are they all already on the roster, or is a guy going to emerge from somewhere else? I you know, I have no clue. I mean, I can't sit here and confidently say the plan is to find it from among this group, because we know that can change.
Right.
In a heartbeat. Jimmy, looking at the running back position, talking about, again, distribution of snaps or work, that's another spot that I think is tricky, not because of Trent Richardson as the starter, but the role playing that we want to see from these other backs. Brandon Jackson has really stood out to me with the explosiveness, not only as a guy that was designated as the good receiver out of the backfield, he looks like a guy who, getting some carries, could make a strong contribution.
Well, he is going to be a great friend to whoever the quarterback is underneath center for the Browns, because he can do a lot of things, like you said. I think we all had him targeted as this guy that would come in on third down, go out in the flat, you get it to him, or maybe we become a better screen team, and you get it to him over on the left or the right, and he explodes and goes. But you're right. I mean, he's got a little giddy up when he can come out of a regular running formation too. Hardesty is really, you know, on the firing line right now. Can you stay healthy? And what can you do for us? Because we know, I think, what Obanaya can do. And we know the loyalty that Pat Shurmur has to Chris Obanaya. And he's a workmanlike back. Mm-hmm. You know what he can give you. And then, of course, you've got the prodigal son at number one, who really is a guy that can stay on the field, Vic, don't you think?
I mean, I
Richardson
think so,
can
absolutely.
Do a lot of things.
I think it's going to be hard to get him off the field
because
he's going to see himself as the guy. No. I mean, it's not about talk. It's what he can do as a runner, what he can do as a blocker, what he can do as a receiver. But you brought up Hardesty, and he's showing up now on, like, kick coverage.
Right.
You would think when you're at that point, you were a guy at one point who was deemed and designated as the starter in 2000 and 2010,
right.
And now you're finding yourself a couple of years later covering kicks in minicamp. I don't know if that's now the definition of where his career might be headed or his time with the Browns is headed. And I think the second point to bring up on that is, you know, what does this team do about just about figuring out a rotation or rest for Trent? Because as much as it's going to be hard to get him off the field, you don't want to burn him out.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I had a long talk with him last week, and the thing I loved about Richardson, he said, and he wanted to make this known, and man, do I love the block. I mean, and he,
yeah.
You know, and so
it
goes to that point that he does not want to come off the field.
No.
I mean, he wants to stay on the field. But you're right. You don't want to burn him out, and you want to have him ready. And there's a delicate balance there. How do you get him ready for the NFL regular season? Because he is definitely your guy. The Hardesty issue is very interesting because you're talking about a guy that for 2 years, the previous 2 years, was delicately handled because he was fragile and because he had a history of injury.
Right.
And so this is a guy that really was handled very, very delicately and with a lot of care so that you would possibly have him ready.
Sure.
The start of regular season, and right now he's got to go in there and he's got to earn his supper, and he might have to earn it on kick coverage, and this has got to be totally new to him. And I don't think it's beneath him, because I don't think he's that kind of kid.
Oh no, attitude wise,
right.
I think he handles
sure.
it, but the question is
reality wise,
what's
it's
the
tough,
reality?
Yeah.
And another interesting thing that Pat Shurmur said today, just to note, he said he called third down back a media term. He says, we don't talk about third down backs. He goes, what does that mean? Every time a guy's on the field, we are absolutely throwing the football to
right.
a back.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he says the option is to do something else. You want to keep the other team kind of guessing a little bit defensively. So I like that. And that was said in reference to a Brandon Jackson, because I think his role could be bigger than quote, third down.
Oh, and I think he wants it to be, and that will be interesting. That will be a fascinating position group to watch, I
yeah.
think, as it unfolds in training camp. And if the herd is going to be thinned at some point. And
yeah.
you know what? You got to always protect yourself, though, if you get somebody dinged. And invariably, you know, this team certainly has had a history of that. But, you know, that's going to be a fascinating group to watch.
It's going to be something. Jimmy, great stuff. Love it. And we'll catch up soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Vic.
He is the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan, joining us right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And you're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.